As many of you know, a lot of my preaching deals with the Word of God, so I haven't changed. Title of this message is Feeding Yourself, a Key to Obedience. Kirk's been preaching a lot on obedience lately, mentioning it this morning. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it says, like newborn infants, desire the unadulterated spiritual milk, so that you may grow by it in your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Desire the unadulterated milk of the Word. For people that are fairly young in the Lord, desire that. You guys that are old in the Lord, desire it. That word doesn't just mean, oh, you know, I'd like to read. That word is a Greek word that expresses intense, passionate, strong desire, an intense yearning. I gotta have it. How many times do babies, newborn babies, eat? Some of you mothers know. Quite often. And I'm trying to change the paradigm without cutting down any of the programs and things. There's Get Through the Bible in a Year. We have all these different things that kind of help us keep track. But they don't necessarily place that yearning in there, because sometimes we're checking it off. I read today. Whereas reading the Word of God, it's Him revealing Himself to us. Amen. He's saying, this is me. Are there hard things to understand? Yeah, the Song of Solomon is out of this world. I have no idea, because I'm not poetic. I read that, and I read it in obedience. But I don't get a whole lot out of it. Maybe one day the Lord will do that. I do see some things there, but it is a strange book to me. I'd rather deal with looking up some hard thing than have to read Song of Solomon. I'd rather read Leviticus. But that's me. But what we've got to do is take a look at where are we at. Now, for this new year, how many of you made a commitment that you are going to eat every day? Nobody, because you have an internal craving to be sustained. Right. Why is it with the Word of God that we make this commitment that we're trying to keep? Does that show that maybe we really need to take a look in our hearts to see why there's not the craving for it? To be honest with ourselves and with the Lord. I've heard over the years people say, I just hate to read. There are some things in the world that are available to help you overcome reading difficulties. You can listen to the Bible. I don't know. I mean, I try and listen. I've got the Bible on this little thing, and I listen to it. But something happens when I'm reading, when I'm seeing it in front of me, and I can kind of go back and forth. But what we need to do is do whatever it takes to begin to realize that the God of the universe said, I want you to know me. Right. And here it is. Now, if Jesus showed up for dinner at your house after church today and said, I want to tell you some things, you'd be all ears. You'd want to record that thing and have it down pat. He's speaking to us every day. Right here. Now, this is my personal philosophy. There are certain books in some of these programs, they'll have you read a little bit over here, a little bit here, getting you familiar with it. My personal concept, you can take it or leave it. If you're not familiar with everything that Jesus has done, read through the New Testament many times and skip the book of Revelation until you're feeling familiar with what Jesus has done. I'm not telling you not to read the book of Revelation. I'm just saying don't get caught up in those things if you can't see what Christ has done for us. Because then you need to go over into the Old Testament. So reading the New Testament, I believe in reading the books because they're letters that are written to us. Me personally, I find it hard to get a letter from somebody and I'll read, okay, I read the first sentence. Get a letter from, well, okay, tomorrow I'll go back and read the next one. My brain doesn't keep track of what's going on unless I have continuity. And so I prefer reading, especially like Book of Romans. That to me was a thing that really revealed in my heart. You need to just read the continuity of it because it flows, it dips down and it goes back. Book of Proverbs, you can read piecemeal. I try and read, today's the 10th, right? I read Proverbs 10 this morning. I read a proverb a day. Psalms, you can read piecemeal. But there are other things. So I'm just encouraging you to find the way that works for you to look into the Word of God. And we do have a built-in system that's to create a yearning within us. It's called, He is called the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we have things that we are allowing to block out the desire and the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You say, well, I don't know. There's just so much. I'd rather have somebody teaching me. God didn't create the church to have a bunch of theologians having to feed you. He wanted you to be able to eat the Word of God yourself. Because the Holy Spirit is there to open it up for you. Oh, you'll have some things that you'll go, God, I don't. Those are things you take to Him. You talk to Him. Some things take years. Other times, man, to put things together and go, that's what I mean. It's like, oh, wow. Because in Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, so then, my dear friends, just as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, continue working out your salvation with awe and reverence for the one bringing forth in you both the desire and the effort for the sake of His good pleasure is God. God's working within us. But what did it say? You work out your own salvation. I prefer the word walk out. You walk it out. One of the commentaries kind of gave me a thought on this because Paul was saying, hey, I'm not going to be there. You learn to walk alone because the Holy Spirit's there with you. Learn to do this. That's what we need to do. I'm not going to ask people to raise their hand. How many have never ever read through the whole Bible? And that's not, it shouldn't be, okay, I accomplished this. I mean, it's great if you do. But we need to keep going through it because he's going to continue revealing stuff to you. If you're relying on getting your strengthening and teaching from the pulpit 52 Sundays in a year, what if they never hit the topic you need? And there's lots of topics. There's, I just wrote down a few. You can have fear, you can have anger, a work ethic, being a sluggard. When's the last time you preached on being a sluggard?
I've been a sluggard.
But you know what? There's things in the Bible that talk about being a sluggard and how it affects, because God wants us to have a good witness to those that are outside the church. You're probably not going to hear it for a while from the pulpit. But in your daily feeding, the Holy Spirit makes that stuff alive to you and causes you to change, to obey. About gossip, emotional needs, understanding redemption, knowing the Lord Himself. That's what this book is about. It's to change us to become like Him, but to know Him. Raise your hand if you thought the God of the Old Testament, when you read in there, sounded like a judgmental, harsh, cruel individual. He's the God of the New Testament. He's never changed. So, what is it about our understanding? In fact, I was just reading, I'm in Joshua right now in the Old Testament. Go in, kill the men, women, and the children. And I was putting myself in those shoes. Just a kid. You want me to kill this kid? That can't be you. Yes, it can. But you're not going to get all the answers about why God does it in just one place. It comes through the rest of the book, where you find out God knows the hearts of all men, and He knows that the hearts of those people would change the heart of His people unless they were destroyed. And then you find the mercy of God. You see Him dealing harshly. But then you see tremendous mercy with the children of Israel. Moses up on the mountain for 40 days. And they're down there dancing around a calf saying, "This is the God that set us free?" And God said, "I want to squash them. I want to take them out." And Moses interceded. God had mercy. You see it over and over again with the children of Israel. God revealing Himself. And then we come into the New Testament and we see unfolding the plan of grace and mercy found in Jesus Christ, His only Son. But you've got to read it to understand it. In John 14:26, it says, "The Counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." Gordon, remind me of what I told you this morning. Nothing. Because I didn't talk to him. If you don't put the Word of God in you, what is the Holy Spirit going to remind you of? You got to be putting it in. And the Holy Spirit brings it to light. He ties it in together with all kinds of other stuff. In Job 23:12, this is amplified. Job says, I have not gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed and treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This comes from an Old Testament saint. If he could say that back then, what should the desire of our heart be? I'm trying to raise the bar to get beyond, okay, I'm reading a chapter a day. I'm saying, let your heart go free and say, God, I want to know you. Right. If you don't have that desire, you're going to come before him. I'd say read the Word of God, because I don't have this on the screen. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting asunder between the soul and spirit, and it's a judge of the thoughts and intents of your heart. You're having a hard time knowing what's going on in your heart? The Word of God says, I'll make it clear to you. Here's where you're at. We just have to listen when he convicts us and say, okay. But we've got to come to a point where we're not just having to make a commitment. I don't have to make a commitment to eat. I eat all day long. I do. You can ask my wife. I eat all the time. Spiritually, I'm trying to increase that, because I want the Word of God to convict me, to make me hunger even more for him. Because I want the Word of God to change me, to allow me, in Romans 12:1-2, it says, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's because all the previous chapters were talking about what Christ did, what he's done for us. And therefore, because of these mercies, now that you see them and comprehend them, offer your body a living sacrifice and be transformed. Amen. But if you're not reading it and not seeing the truths that God has for us, you're not going to be transformed as quickly. It's all up to us individually. Psalm 139, verse 15. My frame was hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. He knows the number of our days. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows what every one of our days is going to be like before it happens. And he has a plan for us. Every one of us. Ephesians 2:10 says, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So how do you find out what God's wanting you to do? Are you waiting for someone else to tell you? That's dangerous. I don't want people telling me, oh, you should be going to Zimbabwe. I don't have a passport. I don't have a desire. I've had other people say, you should get your passport to be ready. There's been no inclination in my heart that says, you're going. Because if the Holy Spirit starts telling me, get ready, then I better get ready. He hasn't told me. I don't want somebody else telling me. And in here, the psalmist in Psalm 139 said, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How do you know what they are? Unless you read them. Read them. And you find out that God is very different from what the world projects him to be. We're living in troubled times. We're living in times when things are actually going to get worse. If you look at some of the end time stuff that's coming up, it's like pandemic. Drop in the bucket. How do you get strong? Reading the Word of God. Feeding on the Word of God. And he wants your days to be fulfilled doing what he wants you to do. But you'll only know that as you're reading the Word of God and he begins to direct you, give you burdens in certain areas. And you really need to have him helping you. My wife and I like to give. We watch TV. I see the ASPCA. I see these poor animals. I see the Jews in Russia. I see feeding the children. Support somebody in Guatemala. It's like, oh my gosh, there's so many needs. What do? Just empty your wallet? You have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you in your areas. What he wants you to do, because he's got a plan for you. And he's going to get you there step by step. Deuteronomy 7:22. This is when the children of Israel were going in to take the promised land. It says, the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You may not make an end of them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into great confusion until they're destroyed. And in a spiritual sense, that's what the Lord's doing with us. We're changed because the Word of God is washing us, causing us to know him and his purposes daily. Because we can't learn to put off certain characteristics and put on others with just 52 messages a year. You can't do it. Is that partly why the church worldwide is anemic? But I'm talking to those here to try and raise the bar. And again, I'm not wanting you to say, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to read 10 chapters. I'm wanting you to make a commitment to ask the Lord, say, where's the hunger and the drive in here? Burn inside of me. Let it be real. There will be times you learn not to be guilty. There's times when I don't get to read what I want to read. And there's other mornings and times when I can read a lot more. The Holy Spirit is gracious. He flows with us. It's not a mechanical thing of just, okay, I'm going to set this rigid thing. Oh my gosh, I'm sick of those things. The goal is to set your heart before him. He'll move you. By him taking us step at a time in our own lives, we don't get overwhelmed. It's like, okay, well, let's see, I need to be a Christian. I just read that I need to do this, and he did this. And the Holy Spirit will target areas for you. If I had to do everything I read, I'd be a basket case right now, because I've read it over and over for 40-some years. And I still can't do it all. I've still got issues. But there's comfort in knowing he will take me without condemning me and show me what I need to do. Feeding yourself allows you to make decisions based on what God's doing in your life. In 1 Corinthians 16:12, it says, "Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go with you, to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he'll go when he has the opportunity." Can you imagine the pressure that Apollos must have felt? Here's the Apostle Paul. He's like, "Man, you need to go over there. You need to go." And Apollos is like, "Not right now." Why could he say that? Because he knew what God was wanting him to do where he was at. And he says, "Okay, when the opportunity comes, I will go. I'm not saying I won't go. Now's not the right time for me." It allows you to say no to the things that will distract you and detract you from the work of God in your life. Because people know how to manipulate Christians. "Well, I thought Christians were supposed to be loving." Tell that to Jesus when he said, "You snakes and vipers." And the disciples said, "Don't you know they're offended at you?" He said, "They're not plants at my Father's planet." Whoa! I'm not saying we should act like that unless God is having you act that way. I'm just saying there's pressures in our life to do things, oh, because it's Christian. But is it what God is wanting you to do right now? Good. Otherwise, we're wishy-washy. "Oh, you should do this." What do you think Satan used to tempt Jesus? "Hey, why don't you make these stones into bread? You're able to. You have the power. You can do that." The devil still does the same stuff with us to try and get us off the course that God has for us individually. Acts 6, verses 1 through 7, the church was going through a boom and people needed ministry. The leadership said, "Hey, we need to be focused on the ministry of the Word of God and prayer. Somebody else needs to take care of this." They didn't go, oh my gosh, we just got this need that, oh, we got to go over there and serve. No, they knew what God wanted them to do and they found others to do that work. And God raised up some people to do that. It feels good when you know you're doing what God wants you to do and you're not influenced or swayed from the track you're on. Here's in, you don't have this on the board there, Deuteronomy 17. I'm going to read it, verse 18. This is from King James, which that's my favorite book. But "It shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall..." This is talking about when you come in and you have a king set up. "It shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he'll write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them." The king was to read every day. Why? To learn to fear God. Because when you fear God, what do? You obey him. That's why we need the Word of God in our lives. Do I fear God as much as I should? I don't think so. I want to learn more. I want to have that taking place. I want fire taking place in my heart that moves me and changes me. Last scripture I have is Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, "The scripture says, man cannot live on bread alone, but needs every word that God speaks." You cannot truly live by just eating in the natural. That's not what he means by living. We need every word that God speaks, even when it blows your philosophy of life away. And it says, that's not right. It doesn't feel good when it first hits, contrary to the way you think. Just like was mentioned this morning, praying for the leadership that's, and even for some that would be persecuting you, seems contrary to our nature. Well, how's that nature changed? Right there. How many people love all their enemies? Don't raise your hand. Is it hard to love your enemies? Yeah. But the more we have the heart and mind of Christ within us and have yielded to him, the easier it is. As well as just the grace of God, the Holy Spirit in your life, like Stephen being stoned by his enemies, he says, "Father, forgive them." In my current state, I'd be saying, "Father, fry them." I mean, you're getting hit with some stones. I don't like pain. I don't. And I'm thinking, how in the midst of all that pain, I'll give you a clue. If something hits me on my head, I don't know what it is, I get very, very, very angry. I mean, it just rises up, and I'll stomp my feet, and I'll shout, and it's like, oh my gosh! I can't think of those stones hitting my head and saying, "Father, forgive them." Not in my natural state. It has to be the God working within us. And the grace of God will always be there for whatever circumstance you're in, even if it crops up before you think you're ready. Because he knows our days. He knows what we're going through. And if you think the Bible's hard to understand and that it takes some effort, Proverbs 25:2 says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, to conceal a thing, and it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. Revelation 1:6 says you are kings and priests. And so he's putting it on you to search out the matter. Otherwise, anybody could do it. But he's made you kings, given you the Holy Spirit to have insight into it. And he says, now search it out. And you could say, well, I'm just going to do it just a tiny bit at a time. Or you can say, God, put a fire in me because I want to know you more. The psalmist said, I understand more than my teachers because I love your law. So you can sit here and say, well, man, Kirk, I need to be fed. or you can have the Holy Spirit moving in your life where you feel like, I think I know more than Kirk does. You can. There's nothing in the scripture that says the pastor is the know-it-all.
That's true.
And that will bring a greater move of ministry, relationship, because when God begins to place things in your heart, Jeremiah said, your word was in my heart, it was burning like a fire, and I just couldn't shut up. I had to speak it out. And so he'll be putting, as you're yielding to him, raise the bar by seeking him and asking him, am I really craving you? Or am I just trying to check the box and, okay, I've done it. I'm doing what they said. I'm being faithful. But there's no relationship there. The relationship needs to be there. Amen.